Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for coming back to another episode of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome to Sunday morning. I hope you're having a great weekend. I hope the rest of your day is restful. It recreates you and sets you up for a very awesome week. Today, we are going to talk about something that this podcast, this blog talks about a lot. Seems like I'm always talking about this issue. I think it's because it's part of my deep passion in life, but it's also because I know so many people find themselves in this space. And so we're going to talk today about estrangement. Estrangement. It's not about being strange. It's a different thing than that. People are just social beings, aren't we? I mean, we align around each other in the form of teams and tribes and families and clubs. And, you know, you see this, it starts very early when we're young. It really hits a crescendo in our adolescent years. But smaller social groups give us a sense of belonging, don't they? We find acceptance. We find approval in communities. These are the deepest soul-based desires of a person can ever have. You might think you want a car, but what you really want is approval. And these are behind every motivation, and they come at the deepest soul level. And communities give these to us. And for that reason, our tribes become vital to our own formation of our identity. They become very, very important into our sense of self, of who we are. Now, those with the social, the economic, the political, or the religious power, those are the ones who get to dictate the rules of the group. And they get to define who ultimately belongs. And this is true whether we're talking about a world religion or a junior high clique. I mean, for every single group out there, there is always a process of assimilation where an outsider can become an insider. And this might be something really simple like, oh, hey, you're on the softball team. Or it might be something extremely involved and painstaking and taking years and years. Certain clubs, like becoming a medical doctor, might require tons and tons of effort. But you see, the degree to which we seek assimilation correlates to our assessment of that group's ability to provide us with our deepest desire of acceptance and our identity, right? If you decided you wanted to be a dentist your whole life, you're not going to have your sense of identity until that day you become a dentist, just like the guy in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now, that's all about getting into the group, right? Getting into the group gives us a sense of what we think we know about ourselves. It tells us who we think we are. But what happens when an insider decides to become an outsider? What happens when you decide to leave the group, when the group is actually not going in the direction of who you think you are? You know, sometimes the group identity is not what it promised. Sometimes the tribe errs in how it manages issues of social justice. Sometimes it goes in completely the opposite direction of what you want. And it's moving against who you think you are and who you believe yourself to be. What happens when we simply disagree or outgrow our group? You see, unfortunately, the one who questions the establishment is always cast by the group as a dissident. Those who would leave are always viewed as deficient. They're viewed as flunkies or those who just never got it. You see, the result is always estrangement. Now, estrangement is defined as no longer being on friendly terms with the group. And despite the best intentions of those who outgrow their container, those who are in power within the system can only sustain their power and the security of the group if the one who leaves is viewed as deficient or in some way a problem to the group. Those in power can then easily withhold any provisions for validation or for acceptance and, for worst of all, identity. It's tremendously unloving. And in some ways, you guys, it's not the group's fault. They can't help it. A group has to always look out for its own interests. You see, the main reason so many people who question their system end up staying in it, even though they're not fully convinced by it, is that there is a requirement to find a new identity. Yeah, you'd have to rediscover yourself. You'd have to find a new way of understanding who you are. The fear of the unknown is far greater for many than the limitations of the group. And even though the tribe gives sparingly, it does give something. And for many, that's better than not knowing. Often, it's just easier to stay in a bad relationship, a dead-end job, a dysfunctional church, or an unsatisfying group than it is to build our life all over again outside of it. So we talk ourselves into staying. We tell ourselves it's not so bad or it's just this one area because that's what the group would have us do. Now, the ministry of this blog and this podcast is designed specifically for those who find themselves in this liminal space. And Richard Rohr uses that term, and I use a lot of Richard Rohr's terms because, well, I'm in the living school, and he's a great influence in my life right now. But liminal space just means a transitional period. You know, you're going through a doorway. Estranged people are everywhere. And that's because people are constantly outgrowing one system and entering into another. The world is full of malcontents because consciousness is on the rise, not the other way around. It's not that the world is getting dumbed down and therefore people are just leaving things. Now, it's unfortunate that systems and groups and tribes lack the ability to see liminal space as a graduation into something bigger, and they resort to name-calling and withholding kindness. Now, this is because a system is always looking out for its own best interests, like I said earlier. It's the nature of the beast. And when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, he was talking about a community of people who were called out of a small system into one that had a new set of rules, rules that governed people from the inside out, not the outside in. See, the called out ones, the Greek word for that is ekkaleo, is where we get our word for church, ekklesia. Quite an interesting idea. You see, this estrangement is part of the spiritual path. It's always the spiritual path. And I would encourage you to not lose heart during this journey through estrangement. Whatever you do, though, don't abandon your pursuit. Something much bigger than you is calling you into a bigger, wider, and more inclusive space. There are many, many people out there waiting for you to join them who can and will embrace you. But furthermore, the identity you gain will be the one of freedom and authenticity. It's the true self you're going to find. And like I said, it's always a spiritual path. The journey through estrangement is the Christ journey. Even if you don't recognize it as such or even care to call it that, that's okay. Throughout all of Scripture and many sacred texts, the leaving of the kindred, the going away from the family, it's like what Abraham was called to do, right? It's the abandonment of those closest to us, when they turn their backs on us, that is the basis for the humiliation of our pride. It's when we finally shed our false identity. It's so painful because we have to give up what we thought we were and just open our hands to it. The false identity, the one that's imposed by the system, is what we get rid of. And we find our true self. It's the epicenter of faith and trust in the voice or the power that inspires us beyond the walls of our system. I'm not saying systems are bad. They are actually very necessary. They're important to us. But don't be convinced that you need to stay in them your whole life. Second grade was perfect for me. But then I became a third grader. And now if I go back to the second grade class, my knees don't fit under the desk of the table. I've simply outgrown it. And I haven't abandoned it. I've left it. But I still use second grade. I needed everything I learned in second grade to get me through the third grade and so on through the fourth grade and the fifth grade and the sixth grade. You see, I am convinced that this is the only path to God. It's a constricted path. Estrangement is not the easy, wide road. It's the Via Dolorosa. It's the walk to Emmaus. It's the night under the Bodhi tree. It's 1,000 other metaphors and stories and locations. You see, if you find yourself there, count yourself very lucky, for you're graduating into the truest self and your deepest soul. You're in very good company. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.